Since this is the Holy Week, okay, I'd like to set aside for a while our series on 2 Timothy. Not that there's no gospel in 2 Timothy, but hopefully this message we'll be having this morning will once again refresh us with the Holy Week that we are celebrating, and that we might once again have a glimpse of our Savior. So I've entitled this message, God's Suffering Servant, Jesus, Our Savior. And we'll be looking at Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13, all the way to chapter 53, from verses 1 to 12. Okay, so magbukas po kayo sa akin, sa aklat po ng Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 52. And there's a reason why I've chosen this passage, starting in verse 13, okay, because this really belongs to this whole section of the Song of the Suffering Servant, okay, which we'll be looking at in a while, no, in greater detail. So Isaiah 52, starting from verse 13, all the way to chapter 53, 1 to 12. I'll be reading from the NASB Bible. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. Chapter 53. Who has delivered, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with the wicked men, yet he was with the rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. He would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Bless the Lord for his word. This particular section, brethren, was written by none other than the prophet Isaiah himself. And Isaiah, his name is called, means Yahweh is salvation. If you would just indulge me for a while, just a very quick background, po, okay, just for us to be situated where we are in this passage. And just enough, of course, information. Okay, dahil kung bibigay po natin lahat, na sobra ho nga, napakadami po niyan. And our time would not be sufficient for me to be able to do that. And Isaiah lived, of course, and prophesied during a time, you know, of transition where the Assyrians were about to invade the northern kingdom. Okay, so he had lived for a time, okay, even before the northern kingdom succumbed to the invasion of the Assyrian army. And then he lived to prophesy the downfall of the southern kingdom. So meron po nga, nahati na po yung kingdom nung time po na yon, the northern and the southern kingdom. And the southern kingdom of Judah, eventually, after about 100 years from the time of his prophecy, the southern kingdom will be invaded by the Babylonians. And so napakalawak po ng scope po ng ministry po ni Isaiah kung paano po siya ginamit ng Panginoon upang magsilbi po for a time, no, for the kingdom of Israel, both the divided both the northern and the southern kingdom. Okay, so that he would give warnings about the coming judgment and encourage repentance. And we would see that in chapters 1 to 39. Okay, somehow napaka ganda po ng division po nitong book po na ito. Madali po natin ma-distinguish. Okay, so the first part really speaks of the warning, the coming judgment, where Isaiah wanted to encourage the people to still turn to the Lord and repent of their sins and acknowledge God in their midst before the coming judgment. Surely the judgment of God would come, but he wanted to address the people of God while there's yet time for you to repent. Repent before the Lord. Acknowledge your sin. Though your sins are red like crimson, and you turn away from those sins, come, let us reason together, says the Lord, because he will abundantly pardon. And then in chapters 40 to 66, at the end of this book, he would again provide some comfort and promise of hope, forgiveness, and restoration for God's people, both the northern and the southern kingdom, of course. Okay, because napuforsee na po niya yung mangyayari din po sa southern kingdom. And kung tutuusin po, talagang napakalawak po nitong aklat po na ito. And it will take us several years, so, to be able to exhaust everything that we can find in this book. So I'd like to invite you, no, to personally go back, no, to this book and read through the gospel or this book, because talaga napakaganda po nitong passage po nito. Bagaman nasa Old Testament po siya, makikita po natin na it somehow gives some very refreshing truths, okay, to us with regard to God being our salvation. And there's a reason why Isaiah here also offers a majestic portrait of God and His attributes. That napakalawak po, napakadami po mga bagay na pinakita po niya. Particularly, for example, God's holiness. We see that in His vision in Isaiah chapter 6. God is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. We would find Isaiah describing the person and the ministry of the Messiah and His eternal kingdom and His reign. Okay, kumpleto po ito, aklat po na ito kung paano po niya pinakita yung prophecy concerning the virgin birth. Behold, the virgin will have a son. And that his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his government will have no end. And he continues on to describe, okay, in a vivid way, as if he was living during that time already. Napaka-amazing po nitong book po na ito and how a lot of things had been fulfilled, brethren, concerning the Messiah. And mind you, brethren, he did not write this during the time when Israel was already conquered and Israel somehow had experienced all of these things. No. He lived 100 or 700 years even before the coming of the Messiah. Can you imagine, brethren? 700 years ago, before Christ would come, he would already show us a picture of this Messiah. And this is what this section of our study is really all about. So much so that even Matthew Henry, the commentator, pastor commentator, declares, he said, so replete with the unsearchable riches of Christ is this book that it may be called the gospel of the evangelist Isaiah. Some even describe Isaiah as the Saint Paul of the Old Testament with regard to his authority, with regard to the way he understood salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ, the Messiah himself, even though the Messiah had not yet come. And napaganda po nito aklat po na ito. And this Holy Week, hopefully, brethren, would give us enough fuel and somehow incite us and somehow guide us, brethren, to meditate further for more than 700 years before Christ would come. Imagine po, doon pa lamang makikita na po natin ang kagandahan po ng Ebanghelyo ng Panginoon. Ang kagandahan po ng ating Panginoong Jesucristo. Even Warren Worsby describes this particular section. Okay, basically, Isaiah 53, sabi po niya, like Mount Everest, Isaiah 53 stands out in beauty and grandeur, but only because it reveals Jesus Christ and takes us to Mount Calvary. Okay, ganda rin po ng kanyang insight po dito. Pinapakita po niya sa atin the grandeur of the Son of God, the Messiah himself. Even though, brethren, we see him in his context, kasama po yung Isaiah 52, verse 13. Because really, all the way to chapter 53, the crown jewel, of course, of the last four of the servant songs, including chapters 42, 49, and chapter 50 of this book of Isaiah. They're called the servant songs. And they're rightly called to be that, brethren. Just imagine a servant, you know, singing on his way and just doing certain chores and doing certain errands and just singing. Nakarinig na po ba kayo? May mga servants po tayo, halimbawa, or may mga tayo, no, sa mga bayo natin, may ginagawa tayo, tapos kumakanta-kanta ka, tapos bakit ka kumakanta-kanta? Because you take pleasure in what you're doing. You take pleasure in the way that you're serving the people you love. You take pleasure in the way that you are serving. And you see them not merely as chores or mere responsibilities to do, but you recognize the privilege and the opportunity that you've been given to be able to serve, to be able to do this. And brethren, and this is a beautiful description of our Lord himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of all servants, the slave of all slaves. And yet we find him singing, and yet we find him declaring before us the great privilege and the servitude of his heart, the humility that he had displayed throughout these passages. But of course, we do not have time to look at all the other chapters. But I'd like to discuss with you this particular section, Isaiah 52 from verse 13 all the way to chapter 53. And here, brethren, we ask the question, who is this servant? Who is this servant of God? Who is this servant being declared here in these chapters or in this particular section of the book? You see, some people would say it's Isaiah or Israel because Jewish scholars actually refuse to recognize Jesus Christ until this day. Brethren, marami po sa mga Hudyo na talagang ayaw po talaga nila kilalanin na ito po ang tinutukoy po dito ay walang iba kundi ang ating Panginoong Hesukristo. They would refuse to acknowledge Him. They would say, He is an imposter. And so they would try to explain away this passage and try to convince people, no, look at it. No, this is really Isaiah. This is really about Israel and the sufferings that they experienced as a nation. Okay, Isaiah himself suffered greatly in the hands of his oppressors. But the question also, brethren, if that is the case, we would also ask, in context, reading this chapter, how and when did they die to atone for their whole nation? Is there anywhere in the passage that says that they died for the whole nation? That they really suffered at the hand of their oppressors? Particularly just because of their sins? And just remember, brethren, how ironic that would be. If the sinful nation of Israel in her rebellion would be the one to provide atonement for her own misdeeds. That would be ridiculous. Ikaw mismo ang magbabayad sa sarili mong kasalanan. Alam mong may atraso ka sa Diyos at kakayanin mo bang bayaran yon? Kakayanin mo ba na pagdusahan yung pagkakasala? How much more for the whole nation? Kaya kung para sa sarili mo, okay, maybe we could give that opportunity where people, even until now, wanted to pay for their sins and atone for their own sins. But brethren, that is not the case. Would God accept your affliction or their affliction as a payment for sins? The answer, we know emphatically, is no. There is no other payment. There is no other way we could atone for our sins except for someone who is perfectly holy, except for someone who really was appointed by God Himself, is the sinless Lamb of God who would be slain for sins, not just for my sin, but the sins of many, whom He will atone for. And so we could dispel that doubt, brethren, that this particular passage speaks of Isaiah or Israel. It really speaks of Jesus as God's suffering servant. Jesus is the suffering servant, brethren. This particular passage has been fulfilled before our very eyes. In 1 Peter, brethren, we find the apostle himself, with the authority of God, spoke these words in chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. You can turn your Bibles there with me. As to this salvation, Peter said, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them, and they were not serving themselves, but you, through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, these into which the angels long to look. And then in chapter 2, 24 and 25, we find it clearly stated here, brethren, before us, 24 and 25, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds we were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Look at the resemblance, brethren. Look at how this particular passage or passages point to us about the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. On our behalf. He did not do it for nothing. He did not do it for himself. He did it so that we could have access to God and be able to find forgiveness for our sins. And here we find in five paragraphs, brethren, in five paragraphs, you go back to Isaiah 52, in five paragraphs, in just three verses each, Isaiah describes the glorious suffering of God's chosen servant that elicits our awe, worship, and appreciation of the Lord's passion and suffering. Hopefully, it will serve this purpose, brethren, for us to stand in awe of God, to worship the Lord, to appreciate His passion on the cross and His suffering for us. In just five paragraphs, and we would find them divided in this way, and this is going to be the outline of this message, brethren. We'll just be covering the first three. Okay, next week po, because kasama na po yung resurrection dyan, especially sa last, okay, sorry, number five po dapat yan. Okay, hindi ko alam bakit naging four siya, no, na reformat, nag-ano ho siya. But we find first, in chapter 52, verses 13 to 15, we see the servant's distinction in terms of his person, in terms of his character, in terms of who he is. We'll be looking at that in a while. And then in chapter 53, 1 to 3, the servant's rejection, outright rejection from his enemies and even from his own people. And then in number 3, we find in chapter 53, 4 to 6, the servant's substitution. And then there we see a description of the way that he gave himself for us, brethren, in greater detail. And then in chapter 53, 7 to 9, the servant's submission. And then he goes back in chapter 53, 10 to 12, the servant's exaltation. Kaya dito po natin makikita, mga kapatid, ang kabuuan ng kagandahan at kadakilaan po ng ating Panginoon, whom we must stand in awe, whom we must worship, and whom we must appreciate continually in our lives. And this Holy Week, brethren, may we be filled with awe and acknowledgement of His divine work, of His divine person, in the way that He has revealed Himself to us, even from this Old Testament gospel. And so allow us to appreciate the New Testament in the way that we now are recipients of the gospel message. In the way that we now can see clearly na napagtatagpi-tagpi na po natin at naunawaan po natin ang perfection po ng Diyos. Ang ebanghelyo na natanggap po natin na hindi lamang po basta-basta ang ebanghelyo. And we consider it truly the good news, brethren. And how blessed are the feet of those who bring good tidings of good news, brethren, and to declare the salvation of God. And this is where we find these areas, brethren. We look at the first, the servant's distinction in chapter 52, 13 to 15. What does it say? Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up, greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him, for what had not been told them, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. Oh, brethren, the kind of portrait, the kind of description the Lord here of who Jesus is here astonish everyone. Wherein, brethren, it describes to us how come that He is an exalted one. And how come he is high and lifted and greatly exalted? And how he is being described here before us. The kind of distinct and graphic picture of him. He was marred and his deformed countenance. Paano po na sa isang tao, na isang mukha, ay makikita po natin ang kaibahan, ang kagandahan at ang the image that is marred, the image that is ruined. And where is the glory in the suffering? Where is the glory in the marred image? At dito po natin makikita ang kagandahan, kahiwagaan ng countenance at mukha po na ating Panginoon. And how then has God's chosen servant distinguished himself? Okay, there are four areas we will be seeing. First of all, it is first by his title. He is wonderful. He is beautiful. Brethren, he is beyond description, even in his title. Just for the God who made the world embrace this kind of title. The God who performed miracles, the God who owns the world, and who made you and me, brethren, embraces this title and this role. Behold, my servant. And I want you to picture in your mind, brethren, how did this happen? The high and lifted up, the high and holy one of Israel, the Lord of hosts. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, had become a frail human being, taking the form of a servant, taking the form of a bond servant. Isn't that the description of our Lord? Brethren, we will be seeing that in a while. And we have here the lowliness of the servant of God. And no wonder people were shocked. No wonder people were astonished. No wonder how this man brought some in people's mind, who is this guy? Hey, there was so much wondering, brethren, from among the people who saw him. This is just the son of a carpenter. This is no one but a poor man from Nazareth. How dare he declare he is God? How dare he declare he was before Abraham? How dare he declare that he is the great I am? Oh, I invite you, brethren, to wonder at God's servant. Behold him. Behold him. Second, by his acts and by his attributes, the people were astonished. It says here, behold, my servant will prosper. From the NASB, in the NI and the ESV, it says, he will act wisely. Herein is the majestic picture of the Lord. The high and lifted up one, the greatly exalted one being described to us as only God deserves to have this, brethren. The act and the attribute of God. He is majestic, is divinely in his stature, in who he is. Brethren, even though it was veiled, even though it was not clearly seen by the people around him, he is the Word, the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one, the Holy One of God, the High and Exalted One, brethren. And we recognize that to be none other again but the Lord Jesus Christ. He was stately. He was divine. He was indeed from the beginning God. And thirdly, brethren, we recognize him in his distinction by his appearance. How come that after him it was described as the high and exalted one, here it says his appearance was marred. In the NIV, it is described as disfigured. When was that appearance marred, and when was it disfigured, brethren, in his form more than the sons of men, that they would not even recognize him and even thought he was a beast, thought he was not manly, or no one wanted to look at him. Ayaw po nila po siyang tignan. Mga kapatid, kung paano po sa mukha ng ating Panginoon, all the suffering that he endured, brethren, how they plucked his beard, how they put a crown of thorns on his head. Oh, brethren, watch the passion of the Christ. Although, brethren, he will not give a full rendering of the sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, being described here in the Bible, brethren, we see a glimpse of the sufferings of Christ. Hindi na nga ho makita, hindi na nga ho maaninag sa mukha ng Panginoon kung sino ho siya. Siyempre, namagana ho yung mukha po niya. Nasugatan na ho yan. It was drenched in blood. And just picture with me, brethren, how much in his appearance people avoided him and how they would even curse him at his death and told him, if you are indeed the Son of God, save us and save yourself. How come that your Messiah would suffer that way, that horrible death, that kind of agony and misery? And Isaiah gave us a glimpse of that, brethren. He was distinct in his appearance. Fourth, we see him distinct, not just in his title, not just in acts and attributes, not just in his appearance, but in his message. We see in verse 15, brethren, he will sprinkle many nations. How then could this man, an ordinary guy, how then could this man who would die a sinner's death, could impact the nations and it would startle them? In NRSB translation, he would sprinkle as if he would provide purification for their sins, as a sprinkled blood, brethren, spilled out, just like an animal that was slain and its blood spilled, so that people would come and approach the living God and the holy God of the Old Testament. And how, brethren, could only imagine the provision of his message, not just for us, not just for the Jews, but for the whole Gentile world. It's for the nations that he did this, brethren. It's for the nations that he has come to die, to atone for their sins, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And yes, brethren, as we meditate on this truth, in this reality of our Lord, Mark 10 reminds us, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. How? To give his life a ransom for many. Philippians chapter 2, we see a glimpse of this Messiah, brethren, who would come. And Paul did not waste words by describing to us, starting from verse 6, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death, even death on the cross. Pwede po natin yan ituloy, mga kapatid. I'd like to reserve that, brethren, the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially as he has conquered sin and death. We will discuss this next week. But the beauty of his death and of his suffering shows us of this beautiful news that we have received, that we have heard, brethren, in Romans chapter 15. The apostle recounts the kind of message that he proclaimed and he continued to proclaim in his life. He said in verse 18, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed." It did not just stop to the Jews, brethren, but it was proclaimed to the Gentiles. He said, "In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and around about, as far as Illyricum in Asia, and I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, and thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation, as it is written," Isaiah said, "They who have had no news of him, they shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. They who have lived in darkness for so long will see the light. They who had lived with no hope at all had received hope and salvation. They who had been supposedly or supposed to suffer and die now are objects of mercy, because God had shown mercy to them." Yes, brethren, we see the servant's distinction. Secondly, we will see the servant's rejection. Chapter 53, go back to 53, verse 1 to 3. "Who has believed our message then, and whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him." Oh, brethren, God's suffering servant indeed was rejected by rebellious people. Even his own people did not want to have anything to do with him. And we see how horrible that is, brethren. Someone who is from God had already come, and yet people refused to listen to him. Isaiah says, "Who has believed our report?" From this question, brethren, we know, whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who is believing this? Who is trusting in the Lord? Who is acknowledging him now in their lives? Are we being open to this report? Are we hearing it correctly? This good news. Is it really good news? Why is it good news? How is it good news? Because the one who came, he has revealed himself to us in the person of God's Son. In John chapter 12, we find the people themselves rejected the one who came for them. John 12, verse 37. It declares to us, "And things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him." This was to fulfill what Isaiah wrote, the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and has hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them, says the Lord. Verse 41, these things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. He spoke of him. Nevertheless, the people did not believe. How tragic, brethren, for the people of Israel. How tragic that they would not acknowledge him and not recognize him and call upon his name. Go back to Romans chapter 10, 16 to 17. It declares to us, if the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. I'm sorry. Chapter 11 na pa rin binabasa ko. Sorry po. Verse 16 and 17, Romans 10. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The word of Christ. Brethren, this is the word of Christ. This is how Christ preached to us himself and the gospel that we have received. His death on the cross, his suffering, that he was rejected by the people that he wanted to save, he wanted to redeem. He had come for them. And many still would not believe in Christ until now. They wanted a certain kind of Christ that suits their own desires. They wanted a brand of Christianity that would make them comfortable in their sins. And the rejection continues, brethren, until the end of days, until the coming of the Christ in his second coming. He will come as the King of kings and Lord of lords, yet people will again continue to rebel and reject him and would not want to acknowledge him in their sins. And yes, it is true, brethren, only those to whom the Spirit reveals Christ will believe. Believe. Only those whom the Spirit reveals Christ will believe or believe. In John chapter 6, 37, all who come to me, I will not cast them away, Jesus said. All that the Father has given to me, I will reveal myself to them. In 1 Corinthians, okay, you can go back to John na lang po, no? But in 1 Corinthians, we see here being elaborated before us, chapter 1, verse 18 and following, we hear this time and again. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Asan sila? Where are those who take their pride in their wisdom? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, to Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Brethren, just think about the wisdom of God displayed on Calvary. And yet, it is so astounding how people until now would not want to acknowledge that. Even the Jews themselves. Grabe po, kahit basahin mo na yung Isaiah, at kahit balik mo sila sa bagong tipan. Of course, they do not believe the New Testament. But just having the Old Testament, you'd already see Christ. You would already recognize Christ. Who else has done this? Who else would have died on their behalf? Who else would have suffered greatly in that way for the sins of his people? And yet they have rejected him. They have rejected him. But it's all right, because the Bible had already shown to us only those whom God has revealed himself, they will believe. And if you are believing right now, be grateful that it was God who has revealed himself to you. If you're believing right now, you know and recognize the way Christ has suffered on your behalf. And it is an incentive for you to live no longer for yourself, but for him. And lastly, on our this section, brethren, or sa discussion pa lang natin, the servant's substitution. We see the servant's distinction, we see the servant's rejection, and we see the servant's substitution. Go back to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 6. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Yes, brethren, in this particular paragraph, we see the heart of the passage being shown to us before our very eyes. It presents to us the heart of the gospel message, the sinless servant dying as a substitute, as a sacrifice for sin. The sinless Son of God died on behalf of sinful, rebellious people like you and me. For he knew no sin. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. In 1 Peter 3:18, the righteous one died for the unrighteous in order to bring us to God. What an exchange, brethren. What an exchange. Your sin for his righteousness. Your sin by his death on the cross. You are now spiritually forgiven. Our sin, yes, brethren, is so grievous and offensive to a perfectly holy God that it deserves just punishment and wrath. Do you see your sin in this way? Do you see your sin, how you have offended this God that had caused the death of his own beloved Son? Do you see your own sins in this way? Do you see your pride in this way? Do you see your lust in this way? Do you see your lying in this way? Do you see your disobedience in this way? Do you see all those sins that you are still entangled with as grievous and offensive to God who is holy, and that you deserve his just punishment and his wrath? Brethren, if it were not for the work of Christ, we sinful and rebellious human beings are without help and without hope. We know this. We know this from Ephesians. We know this, brethren, we are without help and without hope apart from Christ. We would have perished for all eternity. We would have been condemned to die and be destroyed forever. But thank God, because of Christ suffering on our behalf, we have salvation. And that's why Isaiah, his name is called Yahweh is salvation. Christ, God, our salvation. He propitiated God's wrath. He redeemed, forgave us, paid our ransom, and has given us His righteousness. And it is undeniable, brethren, that even through the words of Isaiah himself, he would describe it in detail. Look at the wordings. Brethren, surely our grief, He Himself bore our sorrows. He carried, we esteem Him stricken of God, and He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening fell on Him for our well-being. We have gone astray like sheep, and He has become the one who had all our iniquity fell on Him. Oh, brethren, what a beautiful description of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is enough for us, brethren. Kontin na lamang po ito. Hebrews chapter 10. Yeah, we conclude in this for us. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 12 and following. Lalaktaw-laktaw po tayo. But He, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until His enemies be made a footstool on His feet. For by one suffering has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us after saying, this is the covenant that I will make. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart, and their mind I will write on them. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through His veil, for through the veil that is His flesh, and since we have a great high priest, over the household of God, let us draw near with a sincere, full assurance, a sincere heart with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He who promised is faithful. And you can go on with the rest of the chapter with all the exhortation for us to be encouraged to continually gather together in Him and continue to celebrate this one sacrifice for us, this blessed sacrifice, brethren, of our Lord on our behalf. Now that we are children of God, we can say with Isaac Watts, like sheep we went astray and broke the fold of God, each wandering in a different way, but all the downward road. We were like sheep who have gone astray, Isaiah describes. How dreadful was the hour when God our wanderings laid and did at once His vengeance pour upon the shepherd's head. Oh, how dreadful that hour when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? How dreadful was that hour when all our sins had been nailed to that tree with Jesus hanging in there and dying for us. How glorious was the grace, in fact, when Christ sustained the stroke, His life and blood, the shepherd pays a ransom for the flock. How glorious is that grace that we continue to celebrate, brethren, every Holy Week, every time we think about these, every time we hear of these, brethren, every time we read of passages like these, brethren, how grateful we are for the shepherd of our lives, how grateful we are for our great high priest, how grateful we are for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for who He is, who has given His life a ransom for us. And yes, brethren, this is the challenge for us as I close. the gospel message deals with sin and their need for God's mercy and grace every day. If you have not yet received this, if you're watching this, if you're hearing this, and you do not have that kind of relationship with God right now, I want you to look at Christ. I want you to see your sin in the greatness and the holiness of God, whom you have offended. Turn to Him and repent of your sins and know Him to be your Lord and your Savior. God's mercy abounds. Oh, seek the Lord while He may be found, Isaiah said in Isaiah 55. Call upon Him while He is near. And let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. And yes, brethren, repent and acknowledge that Christ's work alone can atone for your sins. If you are a believer in Christ right now, praise God. Give thanks and praise to God for His amazing love. Be awed at the greatness of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. And live. Live now for His glory. Live now for His purpose. Because He has redeemed you with a great price. He has given His all. He has given His all for you and for me. And so we can rejoice in Him and offer up to Him the worship that He deserves. Let us pray. Oh, how we thank You, Lord. How we praise You for who You are. Oh, Christ, Your sacrifice on the cross. Lord, You're beautiful beyond description, Lord. In Your majesty, in Your humiliation, in everything that You had gone through for us, that You were despised and rejected, and You gave Yourself for us. Lord, we will forever honor You and will forever delight in You, O God. Thank You, Father. May our meditation of You be sweet, Lord, on account of this message. Help us, O Lord, that throughout our days, O God, we will not lose sight of the beauty of the gospel, of the wonders of the cross, of the greatness of Your love, of the depth of our sin, and how undeserving we are of Your grace, and how much You have lifted us up, Lord, from death to life. Now we belong to You, and now we can offer to You the praise and the glory that You alone deserve. We thank You, Lord. We bless You, O God, for who You are. Honor Your name, O God. Father, thank You for all Your children. Thank You for the way, Lord God, that You will burn this message. And to bring this, Lord, to our hearts this week, Father, fill our hearts with awe and gratitude for who You are to us. Glorify Your name, O God. Thank You also for the opportunity to give back what is Yours to our tithes and offerings. May our giving be, Lord, an expression of our worship as well. May our giving be, Lord God, Lord, something, Lord God, that truly abounds, Lord, because our hearts are so filled with grace and gratitude for You. Lord, You know the needs of this church, and You know, Lord God, how to use, Lord, these blessings and these provisions, Lord God, to further Your kingdom and Your purposes. Thank You, O God. Bless Your people and bless the work of their hands. Everyone, Lord, represented in this church and those who are watching us right now, thank You for this message. Thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Dismiss us, Lord, with Your love. Dismiss us with Your grace. And continue, Lord, to go before us. Be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Good morning. God bless you, brethren. Happy honoring Christ this Holy Week.